Kings chapter 19. So Elijah took on the prophets of Baal, okay, on Mount Carmel. It's one of the great stories in the Old Testament. And so Israel had drifted from God. They had drifted into idolatry. It didn't help that Ahab and Jezebel, she was steeped in idolatry. She was a daughter of another king from another country that was into idolatry and things like that. And so Ahab marries her. It's kind of one of those peace treaty deals, you know. And so he gets her as the wife, but her name means where is Baal, you know. So very much strong ties to the god of Baal, which was a fertility god. We may think of that in the terms of, you know, having kids and stuff like that, but it was more in terms it had to deal with that, but it also had to deal with their crops, with their livestock. You wanted your crops to produce, you wanted your livestock to do well. And so they would offer sacrifices to the gods of Baal or Asherah. Asherah was more like a totem pole, okay? And so Baal was a calf, a goat, you know, often a calf, symbol of a calf or a bull. And they would make sacrifices to these gods. And so God sends a famine on the land for 3 years, and then it ends with this showdown on Mount Carmel. The god of Baal does nothing, and so Jehovah shows up, Yahweh, and consumes the altar. Elijah is vindicated, and so the prophets of Baal are there killed there, and then rain comes upon the land. So we're going to actually go back and hit chapter 17, which we just alluded to a little bit last week. Elijah's name means God is Yahweh. So Yahweh is the Old Testament name for Lord. Okay, so if you're reading through the Old Testament, you notice in some places it's all caps. Lord is all caps. That is Yahweh. Okay, and Yahweh was so sacred to the Jewish people that they would never say Yahweh. They would say Jehovah. Okay, and so it's a derivative of Yahweh. So they would call the Lord Jehovah. Okay, and you'll also see that Lord will be sometimes be capital L and then lowercase letters, and that would be just like Adonai or a different name for what would be Lord. But Elijah's name means God is Yahweh. And last week we talked about emotional health, because after this great victory, Elijah goes into this deep, dark depression where he says, God, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. And so we talked about how God met him, made sure he got his rest, got some food and water. You know, it's amazing what food and water will do in some rest. It changes your whole perspective. And Elijah had neglected those things. So we talked about some principles of how to keep our emotional health strong, especially during a time that we're going into, not only with COVID, but just going into winter time. So we have shorter days, and all that impacts us, all right? So today we're going to look at just God's provision. I've called it unconventional provision because, you know, God just doesn't sometimes provide for us just sometimes the way we think he should, right? Or just common ways. He does it through other ways. So we're going to look at some of those examples. And so it's kind of cool. I like the Old Testament. So let's just bow our heads in prayer before we dive in. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that it is the living word of God. It speaks to us hope, life, encouragement, instruction. It speaks to us right now, this very moment, Lord God, and helps us to know you and how we should live our life. And Lord God, so we just pray your Holy Spirit is present in these moments to make your word come alive to us and speak the very word we need to hear this morning. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 17, verses 1. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. So if you follow along with me, it'll be on the screen. But if you have your own copy of God's word on your phone, tablet, or the hard copy, okay, it's here. All right. It says, now Elisha the Tishbite, isn't that a cool name? He's the Tishbite, from Tishbe in Gilead. So Gilead is up in the north. So Israel is very easy, okay? So I'll do it this way so it's right for you. So on this side, you have the Mediterranean Sea. You have the coastline of Israel, the Mediterranean Sea over here. You have the Sea of Galilee up here, Jordan River, Dead Sea in the south. Very easy, okay? All right, so he was up in the north part by the Sea of Galilee, by Gilead. And he said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither rain nor dew for the next few years except at my word. So it would be about 3 years. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He says, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan River. Okay, so up in the northeast part of Israel. You will drink from the brook. I have directed the ravens. So that's a key word. I have directed or commanded the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him, and he went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens fed him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Man, he had it made, right? Kind of like his own little resort, right? Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath. So now he's going to go up to the northwest, closer right along the, almost in the Mediterranean Sea along the coastline. So this would be in Phoenicia. This is not Jewish territory. It's Gentile territory. It says, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed. You notice that word again? He directed the ravens. Now he has directed a widow. Okay, you might want to underline that. There to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he had came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and it says probably he kind of, over the noise, and she was a distance away, he probably yelled, and he said, hey, can you also bring me some bread? Bring me a piece of bread. Did Elijah know what he was asking? As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of olive oil. You ever felt stupid about asking something? Not Elijah. She goes, I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and that and then we are going to what? We're going to die. Wow. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. That's a good line to underline. Go home. Do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make some for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. And so he went away, she went away, and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and he finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms. He carried him up to the upper room where he was staying. So he was staying in her place and laid him on the bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with because her son is going to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry. So notice it doesn't say prayer, it says cry. I think often some of the most powerful prayers are cries. A little more earnestness there and sincerity, desperation. The boy's life returned to him, and he lived. And Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. And he gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. Wow. So what are some things we can glean from this passage as we talk about provision? I think there's some several principles that we can look at, and if you have your program, we'll jot them down here, okay? The first one I see there is that God's provision is often unconventional. Why, okay, just from a human perspective, why in the world would God send Elijah to a poor widow who had nothing to provide for his needs? That was preparing her last meal, and was going to die. Why not send him to a wealthy family or to a wealthy widow, somebody that could provide for him? But instead, he sends him to a widow that is preparing her last meal and is about ready to die. Doesn't seem logical, does it? But it was going to be through her that God was going to provide for not only Elijah, but also for the widow and her son. Often God wants it to be obvious that it is not others that are the provider, but it is rather He is our provider, right? And it became obvious even to this woman, this Phoenician woman that lived in Zarephath. It became obvious to her she probably was not a religious person. She could have been a religious person, but she wasn't. She probably didn't know Yahweh. She didn't know the Lord. But by the time this story is done, she knows that Elijah speaks the truth and that God is a God that can heal her son and bring him back to life and provide oil and bread and flour for a long period of time. And then it never ran out. So the thing that I see here is that in verse 4, God says, I have directed the ravens to bring you meat and bread. It's not a very conventional way, right? If that's the way God would want to provide for you, would you guys be okay with it? Just kind of like, okay, open up the kitchen door, window, and here come the ravens. They're bringing breakfast this morning, right? I don't know where they got it. But here they come. It's being airlifted in. In verse 9, again, I have directed a widow to provide for you. You know, God can use ravens, He can use a poor widow, He can use nature, He can use angels. Everything is at His disposal. He can provide for you however He wants. You read through the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, God provides for His people in a lot of different ways. In the wilderness, He provided water from a rock and manna from heaven and quail. Pastor Andy touched upon that a couple weeks ago. In the New Testament, Jesus provided a meal for a crowd over 5,000. So 5,000 men plus women and children. And He did that with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And from a young boy, they took his lunch. Can you imagine that? They took his lunch. His mom was thinking ahead and sent him with lunch, and then they take it from him. But God provided a feast for all those people that day. In fact, they had more food left over than they had to begin with in the first place as Jesus broke the bread. God, I've often found that God provides for our needs and the needs of His church through ways that we don't expect. So we're not to be afraid, but we're to trust Him and to lean upon Him. God will always provide for His people, even if they are conventional at times, unconventional at times. Amen. Number 2, God's provision requires obedient faith. God instructs Elijah to go to the Kereth ravine on the east side of the Jordan, and that God would sustain him with bread, meat, and water. So Elijah had to obey. You know, I don't know where he slept. He stays by this brook. Maybe there was a cave there that he found shelter in, kept warm. I don't know. But God provides for them there until the brook dries up, and then He sends them to the widow. And there, the brook dries up. He instructs him to go to Zarephath. And there, Elijah instructs the widow to provide bread for him first and then for her son. All these provisions happen because people were obedient. Elijah obeyed God. The widow obeyed Elijah. Their provision required obedient faith. God wants to provide for His people in difficult times, but it also requires us to trust Him. And as I just think about trust, and Anna was kind of alluding to that, and I don't know, somebody else talked about trust this morning. Maybe it was Pastor Andy as well. I think he talked about trust. Trust is just not a formula. One of my favorite passages is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say it with me if you know it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now, it kind of seems a little bit like a formula. But trust is, you have to see trust through the lens of relationship. Okay? A young child will trust their mother or their father, and they'll jump off of a building into their arms. Why? They won't do that for anybody, but they'll do it for a parent. Why? Because of the relationship that is there, right? There's a sense of trust that comes through relationship. If you're going to trust God, you're going to have to develop that relationship with Him that goes with that. And as you get to know God through His Word and through prayer and develop that relationship of walking with Him day after day, trust becomes a natural byproduct of our relationship with Him. We trust Him. Miraculous provision. You know, we all want the miracle, right? Woo, we want the miracle. But it also requires obedient faith. And that's sometimes what trips us up. You mean I have to go and make a bread for you first? Elijah would not have obeyed. Would he have died? I don't know. Maybe. If the widow hadn't obeyed Elijah's instruction, would she have died? Probably. Probably. I think we want the provision of God, but we sometimes always want it on our terms, our way. And we have to realize that sometimes God does things in an unconventional way, and we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. How does God speak to us? I want to just take a moment, just a little bit of a, how does God speak to you? He speaks to us, first of all, through His Word, doesn't He? Right? He speaks to us through prayer as we seek Him. Sometimes He may talk in an audible voice. I've never had the audible voice. I've had Him speak into my spirit. I've had Him speak to me through prayer and through His Word, but I've never heard the audible voice. But there's times I know I recognize His voice and what He is saying to me. But just an example from Scripture. Scripture is very clear that we are to be generous, isn't it, right? We're to give to the poor. We're to give to God. We're to be generous people. Easy to do, right? When you got plenty and, you know, the cupboards are full and the bank account is filled up. It's a little bit different when you're picking up a few sticks to make your last meal and the prophet says, hey, I want you to prepare me a meal first and then whatever's left you can give to you and your son. That's a little bit different to be generous in that circumstance, isn't it? Or the widow that puts in her mite. You know, everybody else is putting in, you know, all this money, and the widow comes by and puts in her mite. And Jesus says, you know what? She's given more than everybody else. Why? Because she gave out of what she didn't have. She gave sacrificially. Everybody else just gave what extra. But she gave sacrificially. The widow had a choice to make. Do I trust God or do I take care of myself and my son first? She trusted God and experienced truly an incredible miracle. And her oil and her flour did not run out. You know, I think God can do that for His people. I think He can sometimes, you know, provide for us in ways that we may not understand or know. Whether it's the food goes a long way, or maybe just our car or vehicle doesn't need to be fixed for a long time. And I think God can provide for us. Our clothes don't wear out. Yeah. There's a lot of cool things. God's provision is often unconventional, but it also requires obedient faith. Number three, God's provision is not exclusive. What do I mean by that? The widow was from Phoenicia, and she was a Gentile before God. Okay, so she wasn't considered part of God's people, even though there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament. Rahab, okay, she was a Gentile. She's in the lineage of Christ. You have Ruth, who is a Moabite. Great story. And she's in the lineage of Christ. She's a Gentile. So there's great examples of how people from the Gentiles are brought in to the family of God. So it wasn't that the Jewish people were exclusive. They were to be a light to the rest of the world, and it was supposed to attract other people to God. Okay? All right? And before God, she was a Gentile, but a lot of the Jewish people thought, you know what? They're outside the plans of God. They're not included in God's plans. And you see that in the New Testament. They weren't part of God's plan, is what the Jewish people felt until, you know, Peter gets the vision. Hey, I want you to go and share to Cornelius' house and share the plan of salvation. And then Paul takes the gospel to the Gentiles. So, where am I going with this? In society, she was a poor widow. She had no voice or status, power, or authority. Before God, she was a Gentile. So, in just blunt terms, she was a nobody. She was a nobody. But she, you know what? She gets to experience one of the great miracles in the Old Testament. The provision of God, folks, is not exclusive. The world may consider you a nobody, but before God, you're a somebody, and you're valuable to Him, and He provides for you. He knows your needs, and He cares for you. If you're listening online, I don't know how you're hearing this, but you have to understand that God's provision is not exclusive. The episode with her son's death reveals she does not feel worthy to experience God's miraculous provision. She says, you know, God's finally judging me because my son died. Now you're exposing my sinfulness, my unworthiness. And so Elijah goes and he prays and earnestly, and the boy is brought back to life. She didn't feel worthy. And I just know a lot of people don't feel worthy before God because we know our sin, folks. We know how we've lived our life. Even if it's been a good life, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And some people may feel, you know what, I'm an outsider. I haven't been raised in the church. I don't know what it means to be religious. I don't think she did, but she still experienced God's provision and God's grace and mercy. Amen? The provision of God is not exclusive. Another great example in the Old Testament is Hagar. Hagar was the servant of Sarah and Abraham, actually Sarah's servant. And Abraham and Sarah tried to have children, and they couldn't have children. God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Your descendants are going to be as much as the dust, the sand of the desert. Wow, just incredible. But only one problem, no child. They tried and tried. You know, their years are getting up there. Still no child. So they thought, you know what, we'll help God out a little bit. So Sarah says, why don't you take my servant Hagar and see if we can have a child through her, which was a custom in that time. Not necessarily a biblical custom, but a custom in that time. And sure enough, Hagar gets pregnant. And of course, that causes issues because she's pregnant and Sarah isn't. So now there's a little bit of attitude there. And Sarah mistreats Hagar. She runs into the wilderness. She's pregnant. And she's going to die. But there's a great thing there. It's in Genesis 16. Well, she goes back. God says, go back. But there she gives God the name, the God who sees me. This is found in Genesis 16. And so she goes back. She lives under Sarah. And then she has the child. But then Ishmael is taunting Isaac, and so she gets sent away again and left to die in the wilderness. The water runs out in her canteen, and God provides for them in a miraculous way. But she gives God a name, the God who sees me. And I love that because here is Hagar. She's a servant, so she wasn't high up on the social class. She was a Gentile. She wasn't part of God's plan, and she's going to die in the wilderness. Nobody would even know that she had died. But God saw her, and she gave God the name, the God who sees me. God's provision is not exclusive. I don't care what you think of yourself. God sees you this morning. He sees all of us. He knows our needs. He knows our circumstances. He knows our life. He sees us this morning. Amen. Praise God. See, and that was confirmation there. All right. God was giving us a wink that, yes, He sees us. Number four, God's provision is enough. God's provision is enough. God's provision for Elijah and the widow lasted until the famine was done, until rain fell. So last week we talked about the prophets of Baal. Elijah prays on Mount Carmel until the cloud the size of a fist appears and the rain comes. And so that's when the rain came. And so what is kind of, when you read into this in the Hebrew a little bit, it seems to bring out the fact that it wasn't like the rain fell and then the oil and the flowers stopped. It's once the rain fell on the land and the land started producing because of the rain, then the oil and the flowers stopped multiplying. Because now they could live off the land. And the oil and the flowers stopped multiplying. God's provision is enough. So Pastor Andy, he talked about the wilderness a couple weeks ago, about the manna and the quail. And the interesting thing, for 40 years in the wilderness, God provided manna and quail. I think the number one, the number two cookbooks on Amazon at that time were How to Prepare Manna and How to Prepare Quail, right? 40 years, folks. You got manna and quail. You're going to have to be creative, right? What's on the menu today? Manna and quail. We're going to boil it today. We're going to toast it today. We're going to fry it today. But here's the deal. It sustained them for 40 years, folks. 40 years. The only day that there wasn't, on Friday they would collect double because on Saturday was the Sabbath. And God provided for them. But you know, an interesting thing happened. They cross into the across the Jordan under the leadership of Joshua. Moses goes up the mountain. He doesn't get to go in because he disobeyed God. Joshua takes them across into the promised land, crosses the Jordan River. The waters part like they did for the Red Sea. They walk into the promised land. And it says a few short days after that, what happened? They went out their tent and they looked for manna and it wasn't there. Now they were able to live off of what was provided through the land that was around them. God's provision is enough, folks. It's going to be enough to get us to where we need to be. The Lord's Prayer is, part of the Lord's Prayer is, give us today our daily bread. And if you really look at that literally translated, you can translate, give us today the bread that does not run out. Our daily bread. Why doesn't God just give us a whole week's worth, a whole year's worth all at one time? But instead the promise is, I'm going to give you the daily bread that doesn't run out. There again, I think there's that relationship. God just doesn't want to be where we make the order and, hey, yep, food's coming. We got it all checked off. We go our way. God goes his way. It's a relationship with him. He is the bread of life. And he wants that relationship with us. The provision is kind of that benefit that comes as we walk in relationship with him. He's promised to be enough for us. Will there be times that are lean? Yeah. God's people have always gone through good times and through difficult times, famine and times of abundance. But in all those cases, he has promised to be enough. Amen? He has promised to be enough. And during the time that we're in right now, I think there's some powerful words here for us. Have the musicians come. You know, God may provide for you in some unconventional ways right now. And some of the needs that you may have may not be far beyond food and water and bread. It may be just for fellowship with other people. That's our value that we were highlighting today, just fellowship. Our small group on Sunday nights is going very well. We're doing it by Zoom, but it's going really well. And I think Amy and I were the only ones that were able to be in church. Other people weren't able to be there because of COVID and other things. But we need those times of interaction and fellowship. Because I think sometimes the isolation, as Pastor Andy pointed out, can be worse than anything else we're going through. God's provision is unconventional. It does require obedient faith. But the beautiful thing is it's not exclusive. And that it's always enough. And we go into Thanksgiving here on Thursday. Going to look different. But I encourage you, thank God for the provision that he's given you during this time. To make that a special effort, that you thank God for, if you're all healthy, thank him for that. You got food on the table, you know what? You're doing better than a good portion of the world, folks. You got a big turkey or whatever the case may be. You really are. You're doing better than much of the world. Be confident that God will provide for your needs, that, you know, not just today, but tomorrow and the next day. God will be enough. In what ways can you be a blessing to others? You know, the widow was a blessing to Elijah. Even though she didn't have much, what she did have a house, so Elijah stayed there and she was able to make the cakes, the bread for him day after day. She was a blessing to him. He was a blessing to her. And lastly, God sees you. He sees you. He knows your need. He knows your heart. He knows the cries of your heart. He sees you this morning. And maybe you're in a place where you just think, you know, God doesn't care. He doesn't love me. Can I just encourage you that God sees you this morning? He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see all the other stuff that you are hung up with. He sees you. He sees the blood of Christ that is covered over your sin. And that His Son died on the cross for you. And that gift is for anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, right? Yeah, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But the promise of Scripture is that if anyone calls on the name of the Lord and confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen? That's the promise we all have. Our sin is removed, and God doesn't see our sin, but He sees a child of His. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to invite you to say that prayer with me, and just a prayer of salvation, and then we're going to have just a prayer and worship this morning. Father, this morning we just come before You, and if we don't know You as our Lord and our Savior, whether we're here at Radiant Springs Church at 1910 West 12th Street, or we're watching online or watching later on YouTube, Father, You know our name. And You love us. And Lord God, You said that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, that we will be saved. Lord, it requires trust on our part. It requires obedience. But the promise is that our sins will be forgiven and that we'll have the hope of heaven. That's for all, any person. Regardless of what we've done, regardless of our sins, Lord, You've promised to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, God, if that is us this morning, if we make that our prayer, You declare that we shall be saved. And, Lord God, this morning, just as we've talked about provision, this has been a unique time in our history. But, Lord God, I pray that it's caused us to draw closer to You, to know that You are enough, Lord God. When we think that the oil and the flour is going to run out, God, that as we put our trust in You, the provision still comes, that our daily bread is there, Lord God, today, tomorrow, and the next day. And Lord God, I pray that You would go before us and that, Lord, we can be a blessing to the world around us that doesn't have hope. Lord God, there's enough doom and gloom out there. Lord God, I pray that we can share the hope of Jesus, the joy that is in our heart and in our life. Lord God, let us share that with the world around us. Allow us to share the hope that we have within us. That's what the New Testament says. Give us the confidence and the wherewithal just to share the hope that we have with those that don't have it. We give You the thanks, we give You the praise, and we ask it in Your name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to sing that chorus, a little bit newer one, Graves into Gardens, but it kind of builds on our message this morning. So would you sing that as with all your heart this morning, as much passion and energy you can put into it. Amen? This morning. Amen. God's able to turn graves into gardens. Amen? He's able to bring a dead boy back to life. He's able to provide flour and oil that never runs out. He's enough, folks. His provision is enough. And so I'm just going to have a prayer blessing over you at Thanksgiving. We need to pray for our friends and our family. I got a text from our oldest son this morning, and you maybe saw in the news there was a shooting in Bellevue last night. 2 people killed, 2 wounded. But it's right across the street from where my son works. So, you know, God's provision and His safety and protection over our lives. It's something I do every day. I try to do every day, just pray for our family, for our kids, and for loved ones. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You that You love us, that You see us, Lord God, and You provide for our needs, Lord. It doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to be stretched. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't know where things are going to come from tomorrow, but Lord, You promised to be our daily bread and provide for us today. It may require some obedient faith. It may require some trust. But God, you love us, you care for us, you've promised to be enough. And I just pray that as we go into this Thanksgiving time, Lord God, that we do thank you for all the many blessings that we can take for granted day after day, whether it's the roof over our head, the clothes on our body, the food that we consume, Lord, just so much that we can take for granted, Lord. So Lord, let us be thankful and give you thanks and praise. And Lord, let us be a blessing to those around us. Maybe just it's an encouragement, or maybe it's some baked goods that we take next door. And maybe it's to help a widow that just needs her gutters cleaned out. Lord God, I don't know what it is, but Lord God, I pray that you allow us to be a blessing to the world around us. And we just pray your hand of protection over our families, whether it's from COVID, whether it's from other things, Lord God. We just pray for an end to this sickness that is ravishing our land. Lord God, I know you have a plan. I know you have a purpose. But we pray to an end, Lord God. Lord God, you hear the cries. You hear the prayers of your people, Lord. And Father, we just agree here today together in unity, Father, that you would end it in our communities, Father. You protect people, but you would also just bring it to an end. Draw us to you in this time. But we pray that you would just bring this to an end. We ask in your name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave. And if you see a new face, bump elbows with them and talk with them. Hey, God bless you.